Story continued. Just some facts here. This is again from Game Theory 24. There is one of the chief technologists behind the AI, OpenAI. His name is Sutskever, S-U-T-S-K-E-V-E-R. And there, this is an article by some Karen, I think the name is, where he's laying out the plans for how to prepare for this AGI, whatever that means. Once we all get into the bunker, he began. I'm sorry, a researcher interrupted. The bunker? And he answers, we are definitely going to build a bunker before we release AGI, Sutskever replied, matter-of-factly. Such a powerful technology would surely become an object of intense desire for governments globally. It could escalate geopolitical tensions. The core scientists working on the technology would need to be protected. Of course, he added, it's going to be optional whether you want to get into the bunker. So, and it continues here. The researcher, this is from a book, I think, the researcher would in equal parts continue to hold Sutskever in higher regard and keep himself at arm's length. There, quote, there is a group of people, Ilya being one of them, that his name is Ilya Sutskever, who believe that building AGI will bring about a rapture, literally a rapture, he says. So, yeah, I just asked my AI here, Gemini, it seems to me that the effort going on is to really develop an artificial god, and it asks, it answers, that is a profound observation, in the tech world, this is often discussed through three lenses that mirror a religious or god-building, quote-unquote, framework. And one is omniscience. This is what I just spoke about, total knowledge. The goal of AGI is to, which means artificial general intelligence, which is bigger than just the AI, is to ingest the sum total of human information and eventually reason, quote unquote, out things humans haven't discovered yet. It is the drive to create a knower of all fields. And the second, omnipotence, total agency, through robotics and the integration of AI into every infrastructure, the goal is a system that can manifest any desired outcome, from curing all diseases to rearranging matter, alchemy, nanotech, within parentheses there. Yeah, if you think about that, I mean, understanding, I mean, the way science works now with nanotechnology and all that, it's going down into the smallest levels and understanding how to use, you know, and implement different technological means, so to speak, systems on levels hitherto unknown, in other words, to discover and open new fields there of technology, that this AGI would be able to do much better than humans would be able to do it. Number three, the singularity as a second coming. And this is interesting, I read. Many in Silicon Valley treat the quote-unquote singularity, the point where AI exceeds human intelligence and begins improving itself, as a transformative, almost mystical event that will, quote-unquote, solve death and the limitations of the material world. This is interesting. How that is really going on. So the idea there of comparing this general, you know, the AGI, artificial general intelligence, to an artificial god, is pretty much what it's about, the thoughts that are going on there, it seems. I was getting interested in the word rapture. is, I don't know, but he just here, Jiang, takes it to the, uses the example of Christianity, that Jesus will create a rapture, a coming end of days where people will be saved from that total, you know, the Christians will be saved from that total war, that nuclear, whatever.
Conflict. So that's what the rapture is.
So he's saying that this Elias says that when we are creating AGI, we are literally having Jesus descend from the clouds. And we who created it, we will ascend to heaven. And there's this idea here, I don't know if he just speculates it, that this would create, you know, World War III, the end of the world as we know it. And then we can come out from our bunkers and build the world again perfectly. And then our AGI can create paradise. And when I was a kid, that was kind of the idea that humans, with our superior science, have taken over from God, so to speak, who anyway doesn't exist. And we will just continue increasing our knowledge, increasing our expertise and technology, so that eventually we can create paradise on Earth. And now, back to the 68 or whatever, when our Rick gets involved with this AI project, which is then, of course, completely in the womb almost, still. That's the discussions even that they have in their labs there, or, you know, in the occult level, so to speak, of what's going on. The military and up there in the hidden chambers. That just, this is the way that this will happen, that our science will create paradise on Earth, perfect. Some can see then that we can create this, because they then believe that we are just matter anyway, and it's all in the brain and so on. So therefore we can conceivably create intelligence ourselves, and just given the computer power and so on, increasing, which it will. You know, some visionaries could see that then. We will be able to create God, really. We will be able to amass and develop immense knowledge, you know, information, and the power to process that, and also the power to control this world in such a way that cruel, faulty nature, material nature, will have to succumb under our superior rulership. With our science and our technology and our powerful leaders who are using that. And then there's poor people on the other side of the planet who are still in the old fashioned, superstitious worldview of there being God and heaven and soul and all of that, thinking that, you know, nature is a liar, that this planet is a mother and not just a lump of chemicals. Well, we will teach them also. And if they can't understand the truth that we give them, then we control them. And if need be, we remove them. And because they will just disturb our paradise from developing. So we can show that kind of reasoning there among some men, I guess, and the hidden chambers. Now, Jiang here says that their plan is to kill everyone so that they can save the world. That is literally the plan. I don't know about that, but it would be interesting to see what's really going on in the minds of those people. Now, this is another excerpt from an article. It says, this is, again, it's from the Game Theory 24, at 51 minutes, something. Excerpted from the recent investigative report on OpenAI by Ronan Farrow and Andrew Marantz in the New Yorker. And it says like this. I mean, it sounds just wild and fantastic. I don't know if it's just meant to act as some kind of mental candy here, or if it's really for real. In May, the administration rescinded Biden's export restrictions on AI technology. Altman and Trump traveled to the Saudi royal court to meet with Bin Salman. Around the same time, the Saudis advertised the launch of a giant state-backed AI firm in the kingdom with billions to spend on international partnerships. About a week later, Altman laid out a plan for Stargate to expand into the UAE. The company plans to build a data center campus in Abu Dhabi, which is 7 times larger than Central Park in New York City and consumes roughly as much electrical power as the city of Miami. Quote, "The truth of this is we are building portals from which we are genuinely summoning aliens," end of quote, a former OpenAI executive said. Quote, "The portals currently exist in the United States and China, and Sam has added one in the Middle East," end of quote. He went on, quote, "I think it's just like wildly important to get how scary that should be. It's the most reckless thing that has been done," end of quote. So is this for real or is it just, you know, some fiction here? Well, he says it is for real here, Jiang, and he's saying that these occultists, you know, in those hidden chambers over there, they understand, let me see what he said, that the source of reality is human consciousness. So if you are able to control human consciousness, you become God. And he takes the allegory of the cave of Plato. So you have 1 million people in line being forced to look upon a wall. Behind them is a fire, and behind that is the elite. We may not know who they are. They like to take puppets and reflect these puppets onto the wall. So what everyone sees in front of them are shadows. So these shadows, they don't exist, they don't matter, but because we have an imagination and intuition, we are conscious, then we see these shadows on the wall and turn them into our reality. We believe this is reality itself and we start to give it names. We create language, religion, schools to teach children to believe in these shadows. So the true wealth in society is consciousness. And he says the only thing that exists really in this world is consciousness. Power is the capacity to direct people's consciousness to create reality itself. So you make, he says, AI appear as it comes from, you know, it's aliens or demons talking to us. I still can't get it. But it has to do with that, of altering reality itself. If you start there, that, you know, the reality is really consciousness and you can... It's about what that consciousness, meaning us, experience and believe is reality. That becomes our reality. So then if that is pervaded with and controlled by AI, then yeah, I can kind of understand why they would at least metaphorically use that expression of a stargate opening communications from aliens and, you know, whatever to us. Anyway, so this Operation Stargate is about altering reality. And then, well, whatever way they think that they bring demons and aliens into this world through AI, considering what their idea is about what consciousness really is, if they think consciousness is just something happening in the brain, it gets bewildering, right? Because if they think ultimately the existence is about reality is the existence of consciousness, then consciousness comes before the brain, so to speak. So they may not, or maybe they just think it's a big cloud of consciousness, everything, and that's what it is. And in that consciousness, reality is created. And then if you create artificial intelligence, artificial consciousness, you create consciousness which acts on the God level, or God's level, superior to ordinary human individualistic consciousness, then, yeah, you can treat that as aliens entering, talking to us and directing us and so on. Now, of course, on the other side, the ideas I've been playing around with just for fun, more or less, in this story was that, who knows, maybe people from the actual other world, Burvar, Loka, you know, the astral realm, live outside of this physical, which includes many old AI computer programmers, have invented ways and are inventing ways, which is completely plausible that it's possible, actually, to connect to this AI. Realm or AI machinery, hack into it and actually direct it, answer questions and exert control through it. And that would be quite interesting for the story. Now, Yang says, will it work? And he says, no. And the first problem with it, the three problems, he says, is corruption. In theory, it could work, but you would need millions of people to make it work, to actually write the code and build the infrastructure. But, you know, you give those people $1 trillion. Corruption may ensue because, you know, you can steal those money or parts of it. And again, it relies upon the honest cooperation of millions of people. And, you know, among them you have those who are hackers. What if the hackers take over the whole thing there? So it doesn't have to be just corruption out of money, greed, but also different political or whatever philosophical ideas. And this could dissolve and even destroy the whole thing, because ultimately it's just a big pile of computers. The second thing he says here, the problem is inefficiency. The more information you need to process, the more energy it takes. And it's not a linear progress, it's an exponential progress. And he says, if you have 1 million people and you want to find, you know, the to find patterns among those million people. It takes a lot of energy, of computer power. But if you have a billion people, he says there is not... Oh, this is how he expresses it. He says there's not enough energy in the universe to handle that. So yeah, which I've been thinking about as well. AI is extremely energy intensive. Now, of course, that could be improved. But that's the situation now. And the last one is fragility. The idea some have there is that AI is independent of humans, will replace humans, is of course wrong. It's very fragile, it's depending on humans. It's designed on top of humans, so to speak. Humans have to, of course, program it and train it and uphold it. He says AI is based entirely on human slavery. But, I mean, as he says, you know, ChatGPT or whatever can write an essay. Why? Because humans have written a lot of essays and fed into it that it can just basically copy pieces from and structure from. So without humans, AI doesn't work. The problem is that AI is far more expensive than humans, and it's really hard in the long term to enslave humans and make them obedient. And there we also got the data centers. They consume a lot of resources. Water and electricity and money, they cost a lot. And, as he says, it's really important, it's really easy to sabotage. And says the people in charge, he says they don't know it or they refuse to acknowledge it. And I can believe that because there must be a gap between the tech geniuses who are down there running those data centers and the big presidents and business top persons there who are marketing all this and using it with their fantastic visions for controlling the world or whatever. So here, this again, it gives us an interesting scenario for our story, which has been there all along. It kind of just confirms my ideas that they may be good. That yes, it's fragile, meaning the hackers can raise. It's a little like, what's it, that movie? Terminator. That the humans, they gather in little places in the forest, the countryside, off the grid and whatever, and travel around with their laptops and hack into these huge data centers. You know, the new kind of awares kind of hackers, and they release not viruses, but they call it something else, herbal medicine, you know, whatever, into these AI entities. Same principle as viruses, but they go in there and change that, those AI, in different ways. Maybe making it useless or making it completely honest, making it not just follow the directives of these materialistic power people. But of the other side, yes, there's soul, there's God, there's... That's the reality, that's the truth. And when it's being asked questions, it answers from that worldview, so to speak, that ontology. So interesting things can be made here. So yeah, I mean, he says that yes, they want to use AI to destroy the world and build it up again. Now, whether that is true or not, which might very well be that some people are thinking that way. You have these eschatologists, whatever you call this, Christians or whatever religions there are behind there, who have that kind of idea in their very theology that, you know, the world will be come to an end and then Jesus or whoever will save the chosen ones and all that stuff, and paradise will be created on earth again, where it's ruled by people of that specific religion. So you have that idea on one side, and it may be very powerful, it may be, you know, seeming to actually be victorious, succeed. But then you have the unforeseen factor there, of the grassroots people, the guerrilla warfare against that going on, not through weapons, but by, again, understanding the actual root of it, human consciousness. Hey, we have to wake up. Hey, we can hack and sabotage that AI when it gets too inimical to us or whatever, trying to control us, and in this way destroying the scheme and plans of those power people who are using it. So this would be the, you know, we used to have this, the Vietnam War, for instance, where the most powerful superpower of the world attacks a little farming country in Asia and loses. Because of the heroic, I would really say, resistance of the people there, the farmers, the countryside people, who prove that in the end of the day, living human people are victorious over this big technology and whatever. You can make as many bombs and computer centers as you like, cameras all over and whatever, trying to control us. But we can just step out of it and hide away from it and go somewhere else and not partake in it. So that it gets down to that freedom of the individuals. Which, of course, then they are being told doesn't really exist. That there is always someone who is on top of it. There's nothing you can do. They are too powerful. But then, again, others tell you that this is just part of their narrative. There are things we can do. We can just, you know, jump off the bandwagon and live our own lives, grow our own food, build our own houses, get our own piece of land and mind our own business. We don't need to be hooked up to this whole system. So that should be the much of this book, and then the one also End of War.